Hello, Royals fans. Welcome to another podcast of Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at EMU. I want to welcome you to this week's podcast, which we have determined will be a potpourri, which means we're going to go from topic to topic.
I thought it meant it was going to smell good, Dave.
Well, I don't know about that. We'll have to see. People listening know. We won't take any comments about that.
That's probably good.
Or responses. There's a variety of topics we want to cover today. And so our infamous recorder, Matt Huntsberger, is probably fearful that we'll go on forever and ever and ever. I don't think that will be true. But there are a couple of things we want to cover. Let's first of all go to the action of the past week. Women's basketball had two games since we last talked. So why don't you update us on that? James DeBoer, our sports information director, joins me again this week. And he's going to begin by updating us on a women's basketball team.
Well, sure. It was very interesting to wonder how the women were going to return from Christmas break. Heading into the break, they played at Delaware Valley and just had, in that game, really a terrible second half and couldn't make any shots whatsoever in that game. So it's very interesting to go into a long break on such a tough game like that. How would they respond? And the women have come out pretty well with wins at Cairn and then at home Wednesday night against St. Mary's. A couple of non-conference games, but both of them pretty solid wins, both of them by double digits. And talking with Coach Griffin, it's fun to watch them. You can tell the women are not hitting their stride yet. Still have plenty of little things they can do better and things that they aren't doing as well as they did last year. But certainly playing well. At Cairn, that game was never really in doubt, I don't think. Not a huge crowd there. I think it was affected by snow in Pennsylvania that day, about 25 people in the gym. But it was about a 50-point win, I think, in that one. And then Wednesday night against St. Mary's, it was tight for the first 10 minutes or so, and then the women scored 11 straight points and really kept St. Mary's at bay the rest of the way. And you could tell that our just full court, half court, just the defensive pressure we put on was wearing out the other team. And by the second half, St. Mary's was just out of gas Wednesday night. And so I think that's something that we'll see a lot of with our women, especially as we start hitting the dog days of August. We can't call them that. The whatever days of January and February.
Doldrums of January and February.
Where there's just tons of games. And I think our depth will start to show up a little bit more as the other teams wear out a little bit more and we utilize our depth and hopefully the conditioning that we have. But good way to come out of Christmas, the women picking up two wins.
Well, there's two things we always keep in mind about this time of the year. One is the fact of how do you play while you're here on campus with nothing going on except one practice a day and then, bagels for breakfast in the athletic suite and meat and cheeses and make your sandwich and then finding something for the evening. So everybody else is home on break. They're here. It is difficult to know how they're going to respond, and I think last night or their Wednesday night game showed that they really did respond well. Second thing is all of these games coming up, with the exception of the Wednesday night game just passed and the one coming up on Monday, are conference games.
Yep.
So the heat is on. The pressure is on. Every game counts more a little bit now, and this is when you want to be hitting your stride. So again, to see how they respond will be interesting. What is coming up for the teams on the coming weekend and beyond?
Yeah, the women are hitting a very busy stretch. Actually, they're playing a conference game this weekend at Randolph College. Maybe not one of the tougher games you would see on the schedule, but those are also one of those games where you really have to pay attention because you're worried your players, might be underestimating the opponent. But they play Saturday, Monday, Wednesday and Saturday. So they have four games on the stretch of 8 days there. So it's going to be a busy stretch for our women. Monday is a non-conference game with Elizabethtown at home. But Wednesday should actually be a lot of fun. I guess we haven't talked about the men yet. They are back on campus but won't have their first game until this weekend. Also on the road, Emory and Henry. But next week, Wednesday, we have a men's-women's doubleheader with Washington and Lee. It should be a lot of fun. The game starts at 6. Actually, Monday's game starts at 6 as well. But Wednesday, the women play Washington Lee at 6. The men play the Generals at 8 o'clock. So just circle that one on your calendars. If you're not doing anything else, make sure you come out at Yoder Arena. It should be a lot of fun next Wednesday night with two games, 6 and 8.
Yeah, the schedule, the way the new schedule has come out with the 12 teams and Shenandoah coming in, they have put together somewhat by – the computer-generated schedule, but also because of the matchups, there are more times when we've been scheduled with the same opponent on the same night. And so you'll notice throughout the schedule, I think Bridgewater College was one of those, and we moved those so that they're either a Tuesday and Wednesday or Wednesday and a Thursday. But there's a number, there's the Saturday, I think, where we're also there. So just so you folks are aware, on Wednesday night, in the local area, that will be considered one game. And so there'll just be one admission charge. We're not going to clear the gym in between. I will, however, indicate that since we are doing it as one game, if both teams score 79 points, you're only getting one ice cream.
I was hoping you at least answer that question, because that was my first thought.
We're going to answer the question, and just in case you are from the area and coming in, be aware of the fact that there's a new procedure for getting the free ice cream at Klein's. And again, for those of you that aren't aware, Klein's Dairy Bar here in the local area has graciously consented to sponsoring our teams by giving free ice cream to everybody in the house if one of our teams scores 79 points. On Wednesday night, the women did score 79.
Exactly.
But because of the fact that the back of the ticket stub is a coupon for Subway,
right,
we are needing to give you a different certificate from Klein's for that. So following a game, you'll need to, if any of our teams score 79, you're there that night, you'll need to exit and show your ticket, which they will then stamp, and they'll give you another certificate. So there is a new procedure. But on Wednesday night, since it's handled as one game, if either team scores, you can get the free ice cream. But if both teams score 79, you only get one.
There you go.
All right,
so we'll clarify. It's good to know. It's good to be clarified.
Well, there are a couple Saturdays where we have 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock or 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock. We'll clear the gym and count those as two games.
Right,
so wanted to clarify that. So, yeah, if you're in the area, make sure you come on out. We're into a busy stretch. Conference games, as we mentioned before, the men's team got rid of all of their non-conference. Everything from now on is conference, and they're trying to hit their stride. And we'll talk about that as we go through. James, I think we had an award this past week. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, award that just came out late in the week. Ryan Eshelman was named first team All-State. It's an award that's done by the Virginia Sports Information Directors. I think the other fall sports came out before Christmas, and men's soccer just got after Christmas. And so Ryan just came out, and it's the second year in a row he's been named first team All-State. Great award for him. Obviously, you know, being named first team All-ODAC is a pretty nice deal, but your pool gets even bigger when you head to All-State. So it's even a nicer honor to be named first team All-State, and he's done it 2 years in a row now.
I recognize that as well. We are still on break. Students come back on Monday the 7th. Classes begin for second semester, and that will also signal the in-season start for men's volleyball. And I think we want to talk just a little bit about their schedule, or that'll be coming out soon.
Yeah, head to the website and check out the men's volleyball schedule. They open up with an exhibition. We do this a lot of times, an alumni exhibition. It's on the 19th, so just 2 weeks away. And that's always a great time when we can pull the alumni back here and just interact with them a little bit and have a chance to see this year's Royals and a lot of fun. So the alumni match is the 19th. You'll see the same pattern that we started last year. Not a whole lot of home events because of the CVC and becoming a Division III national championship. We're doing a lot more weekend events, all sorts of places, but when we're here, it's often a lot of games. There's a couple of home tri-matches, including February 2 is the first big home event. We're hosting a tri-match, so there's 3 matches that day. But another really exciting thing this year is that we are hosting one of the conference weekends. The conference games in the Continental Volleyball Conference played in 2 weekends for the most part, and just kind of rotating schedule as to who hosts those weekends. And this year is EMU's year. I believe it's March 8 and March 9 that weekend. There will be a bunch of teams on campus and a bunch of great volleyball. So circle that one on your calendars as well. But definitely go to the website, emuroyals.com, and just look for the men's volleyball schedule there on their homepage.
Good. Indoor track continues. They'll be picking up and starting practices right away. Baseball and softball will start at about the 14th and 15th, I believe.
As long as we can get that snow off the field.
Right. Well, they're going to want to be in the gym, and I'm working on the gym schedule right now, so that could be a difficult one. I wanted to jump back as we close our program today. I wanted to jump back a little bit to some reflections that I received from fall sport athletes. And We'd like to spend just a little bit of time reading some of them, again, wanting to emphasize the value of sports in their lives. And so we're not going to identify them as individual people, but excuse me, hopefully you get a little bit of a flavor of what's happening here. Here's the first one. Does come from a men's soccer player. Soccer, this simple six-letter word, means and describes a huge part of my life. I feel very special and fortunate to say that I have the privilege to be a collegiate athlete. I am also very proud to represent and defend the colors of Eastern Mennonite University. This great university does not only create great athletes and helps them reach all their goals, it also makes us into better human beings. And I will always thank them for that. Playing for EMU has opened my eyes to a lot of things, and I have learned so much stuff about myself. Every game and practice, I learned that I can be as good as I want to be. It does take help from coaches and teammates, but with their support and with always pushing us to our limits, we know that anything is possible. The value from my playing experience here at EMU is just hard to describe because I love this institution and everything that it's teaching me mentally and physically. I enjoy growing as a person every day. Before coming here, I was about to transfer to a different college, and now I am glad that I picked this university. I can say without a doubt it was one of the best decisions of my life. James, I think you have one there from a field hockey player, if you want to share their thoughts.
Yeah, this is a very interesting thought because the field hockey team did not have as good of a year this year as they were expecting to, and you'll see that in this thoughts from our field hockey player. She said, this year and season was not at all what I expected it to be, and not close to the expectations I had for my senior year. I have always been part of a winning team, but this team taught me how to lose. It taught me how to be more of an effective leader, and it taught me how to be encouraging when everybody else is being negative. There were plenty of times when my emotions needed to be held in. I was often frustrated after games because the team that showed up to the game was not the skillful team I knew we were. At the end of the game, it was a struggle for me to find encouraging words, and sometimes I found that I needed to say nothing at all. Sometimes I heard people talking negatively, and those were the situations where I took the opportunity to search for the positives and bring out those things to make people realize that while the game did not come out how we wanted it to, we did do something well. It was hard, but I have learned a lot of valuable lessons from those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Here's one. This one brings up a whole other angle of sports, and we've touched on it here a little bit, and maybe we'll have to get into it, probably not on this program, but on another one. This comes from a women's volleyball player. Volleyball this season has really taught me to stand up for myself. I have a great fear of disappointing others or letting them down in some way. This leads me to commit and stay committed to an unhealthy number of things. I learned in high school to not get involved with too many things from the start, but I still have trouble quitting or taking a break from the things I'm currently involved in. I let myself be miserable for fearing of letting others down. I have let this fear control me both in the realm of sports and other areas of life. I have decided to take next season off from volleyball in order to go to Spain and Morocco in the fall. The reason I mentioned that this is one of the difficult parts of being a Division III school and an Eastern Mennonite University. Mm-hmm. While we believe sports is important, and it is important in all the growth that can happen, here's someone who at least at this point looks as if they're not going to play because of that. I can't fault that, and yet the kind of leadership that this person could bring certainly is going to impact the team. In the past, I wouldn't have made this decision even if it was an opportunity I really wanted to take. Sports at EMU are giving me the chance to practice making tough decisions and being open and honest with authority figures about how I'm feeling. Telling coach about my decision was one of the hardest things I had to do so far this year. Although I will greatly miss volleyball next year, I'm feeling really good about my decision. I'm hoping I will come back to the sport to complete my two more years of volleyball with a renewed passion for the sport. I'm hoping my newfound courage to make decisions for myself instead of letting my fear control me will carry into other aspects of life as well. In my role as a setter, I also found my voice. Last year, I played incredibly timid, but realized this year that I wouldn't get the same amount of playing time if I didn't take on some leadership role required of a setter. I had to consciously work at it, but being a vocal leader became easier as the season progressed. This season, I've also really valued the friendships I've made. I feel I'm very different from the average college athlete with an entirely different set of values, but I have loved getting to know people who are different from me. I have always been someone who is able to and enjoys floating around to different friend groups, and volleyball has created an outlet for me to do this. Honestly, I usually find these sort of reflections on how sports can make you better a person in the broader world a bit superficial. However, this year I feel my experience really has shaped me. My fear of authority figures is somewhat diminished, and I'm better equipped to communicate with them. Volleyball this season and my short experience with softball last season really forced me to make difficult decisions. I can feel myself becoming at least slightly more assertive and confident. I feel these skills will be assets when I come back to the sport in the future. I especially value them as I start to think about the future and the need in workplace to express myself when I want something rather than just hoping for it.
That's impressive.
That's what it's all about, folks. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure how else you can top that in terms of talking about the experiences that are going to manifest themselves later on, and for someone to be able to reflect on that now. And as I said before, it's really a difficult challenge because here's someone who is just growing into their role as a leader, as a setter, and they're going to take a year off. And I can't discourage that. I can only encourage that kind of worldview. One of the concerns is going to be is, will that person come back with the same passion that they had? I certainly hope they do, because even if their view of sport has changed, I hope that this young lady will understand that if she can come back with the kind of passion that she's talking about, there's even greater lessons to be learned than in that. So that's one that is really sort of difficult to swallow in terms of looking at trying to move the volleyball program on to new heights and new challenges. At the same time, when you look at the individual development and that person and the perspective they have about what it's doing, our prayer and our hope would be that she is able to see how much she's grown in those 2 years to recognize how much more valuable those final 2 years will be when she comes back. And that's one of the things that we're not quite sure that at least I'm always encouraging students who in that junior and senior year say, you know, I'm not sure I really want to continue this for 4 more years. To me, the true value of the learning is going to come in that third and fourth year, and so we can do that. Well, I've got a couple more here, but I think we're going to – that's a pretty good one to stop with, I believe, at this point. You've done a couple of special features of student-athletes. Is there anything that comes to mind that you've thought about that you sort of hear trends of thoughts that people have as you've done interviews with student-athletes?
Well, sure. Definitely one of the trends I hear a lot of talking with kids, I often ask, you know, what's it like to be a student while also an athlete? Because we definitely focus on that at Division III level. And almost to a person, they all mention that they learn time management. A lot of kids talk about how they do better in their classes during the season than when they do during their off season, because they're forced to be more focused and more disciplined on their timings, getting things done, et cetera, et cetera. And so a lot of kids find they do better during the season in their classwork than what they do in the other semester. So I find that really interesting. And I know it's also interesting. I know field hockey's Adriana Santiago. I talked with her this year. She was a senior on the team, and if I remember correctly, her decision about where to go to college, it wasn't so much as, you know, I really wanted to go to Eastern Mennonite, and I chose it. It was kind of like, well, she said I wasn't sure. I wanted to play field hockey, and I wanted to play soccer, and so it was. She decided first which sport she wanted to play. She decided on field hockey, and so since she wanted a Mennonite school, that kind of, for lack of a better term, forced her to Eastern Mennonite. And she loves her decision now. But it's just so interesting to look back and see someone who didn't aggressively choose, per se, where they're going to college, but the decisions they made led them here, and part of the process of them being here just turned out to be a very great experience. And she says, you know, I can't imagine my years at college without playing field hockey at EMU.
Well, and what's really interesting about that, James, is in the recruiting process, we hear so much about from the high school student athletes who are really looking at the Division I and the Division II, mm-hmm. and oftentimes Division III is looked at as only being the school, the unit that doesn't provide athletic scholarships. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to make sure people understand is here's exactly what we can offer. We can offer this balance between the athletics and the academics. And so this volleyball player can take a year and go overseas and study overseas, which could be a life-changing and valuable experience, and at the same time still return and continue with the volleyball. That would never happen at a Division I nor a Division II, right, from my mind. So when we look at it from an athletic perspective, this drive to be at the top, to be the, at Division I or Division II. Sometimes I think there's some student athletes and parents who forget that the real value comes in Division III. I know you have to pay for it and you can't get the scholarship, but and I recognize finances are always a part of it. But I think you're going to find a little bit more of a push from Division III to start saying we should not be known as the one who doesn't do something, but it should be known more of what it does do. And these are examples of exactly what Division III does. It allows a student to be both a student and an athlete and a friend. And when you look at the amount of time that's required and the ownership that is that occurs from the institution to the player in Division I and II, Division III certainly has something to offer, and hopefully these reflections from these student athletes, and we've got many more. I've got stacks and stacks of them, because one of the things we do is we ask students to write a reflective essay on their experience, tailoring their subjects, their comments in certain directions, and one of them is personal growth, personal change. So again, great testimony. We're going to continue to use these in a variety of ways. You'll see them coming out on our website, on our in some of our brochures and things like that. So thanks for tuning in this week. We hope that it has been an inside look to some of what the student-athletes experience, and we'll continue some of these thoughts. Again, if you're in the area, we certainly want to see you at one of our contests. If you're not, make sure you check out the web stream of all of the basketball games throughout and the results coming out in the men's volleyball in indoor track and field. And then, good grief, before you know it, baseball is going to start here in February. Mm-hmm. Hey, we hope that you've had a great start to the new year. We have here as well, and we want to wish you the best in the coming days, and we ask you to tune in again next week, and until then, I invite you to make it a great week.